Spirit Radio Podcasts.
The World Transplant Games took place last week in England, with Team Ireland returning home with, get this, 50 medals in addition to many treasured lifetime memories. Now, on the line to tell us more all about this World's Transplant Games, I'm delighted to have Team Ireland's captain, Harry Ward. Harry, you are very welcome to the show this morning.
Thanks a million, Jackie. It's great to be on.
Oh, how exciting. What a haul. 50 medals. That is impressive. Tell us, what was that like?
Well, it was very exciting. Every day is different. Every competition is different. But every one of the team gives it their all. Whether they win a medal or they don't win a medal, everybody gives it their all.
Oh, that is...
And you can't ask for more than that.
That is so exciting. Now, Harry, I believe you have your own story. You received a transplant yourself.
I did, yeah. I received a kidney transplant 12 years ago from a deceased donor. And without that donor, I wouldn't be talking to you today, probably.
Wow.
It was a very selfish act for the donor and the family to do at their worst time in their lives to make a brave decision to donate their loved one's organs.
Mm.
And no matter what Mr. Harris brings in, what legislation he brings in, it's very important to have the conversation with your next of kin. Because at the end of the day, the next of kin has the final say. And that's really important to get that conversation started today.
Yeah, yeah, it's an important conversation to have. I remember when my dad passed now 19 years ago, and, you know, he didn't have a lot that could be donated, but what could be donated, we did. And you know what? It gave us as a family a great, sense of peace to know a little bit of him lived on and helped other people. It really, really, if you can get your head around it, it really does, give a gift to other families.
Well, for a recipient, thank you very much. It's great to hear, and it's lovely to hear stories that, you know, of donation as well as the acceptance.
Mm.
I mean, with my own transplant, I've got to see my grandchild.
Oh.
The love of her life now at the moment, obviously, has it wrapped around her finger, but you just don't know.
Oh.
I was 3 years on dialysis, and every day was different.
Yeah.
I always had the attitude of that dialysis was living with me, I wasn't living with it.
Mm.
And I don't make the best of life I could. I went for my fourth transplant and dialysis games as a dialysis patient.
Wow.
So it meant I was on dialysis in the evening, but up the next morning out competing. And in my first games I won a gold medal. So that was summed it all up. I haven't won one since, mind you. You're transplanted, the competition gets tougher. But look, it's great. And I mean, the 38 strong team this year, and we had every sort of transplant, bone marrow, heart transplant, lung, liver, kidney. So there's 29 men and 9 women on the team.
Wow. So tell me, Harry, were you into sport before you had the transplant and then that carried over, or was it something you took up after the transplant?
Well, I was actually, the only sport I ever played really was badminton.
Well, it's a fun sport.
Yeah, it was a good sport. Yeah, so I played that mostly all my life. And then when I got sick, I had the unfortunate episode of my right hand was slightly paralyzed. So I was at home thinking about badminton. But I said, I have to do something about this. I was still on dialysis at the time. So I said to my consultant, what about going back to exercise? Need some relief. You feel up to go. So I went to my badminton club, Team Says in Balvoil. Big shout out to all of them.
Hey.
I'm sure they hated every minute of it because I started to play with my left hand. And I thought I was brilliant, but obviously I wasn't, but I thought I was great, so it didn't matter what anyone else thought.
Absolutely.
And I eventually, started playing down in the thing, and I won bronze medals and silver medals in badminton.
Excellent.
Not bad for an old 65-year-old.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. Now tell us about these World Transplant Games this year. Ireland arrived home with 50 medals. Like, what kind of sport? What? How does that happen?
Well, each country offers about 12 sports that are there every year at every game. And then each country has the choice of adding an extra two. So you have all the athletic sports, every one of them that you want to mention. There's people take part in those. There's swimming, cycling, tennis, golf, bowling, archery, you know, there's every sport you could mention. Then for the likes of me, who is really fit and really athletic, there's tenpin bowling, there's dart, and there's tonk.
I love it.
Tonk is just the French bowling, French bowls type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And so people, I suppose it's really good for people, isn't it, after they have a transplant to get involved in sport. And I imagine there's a great camaraderie because you all have something in common.
Well, yeah, there is, but like, what happens is the first time we meet a new member of the team, you say, well, what transplant are you? And they might say kidney, they might say lung. And after that, we don't really mention it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't mention sickness or illness. We just get on with life. But, you know, we'd love. Next year, the transplant and dialysis games are being hosted in Dublin by the Irish Kidney Association. And we'd love to get new members to come along, either transplant or people on dialysis. There'd be a big warm welcome to them. We are like an extended family. This year we had a guy from England, but he's Irish, and his sister's through from America, so they're like our sisters now from another mother. We had all our lovely supporters. We had 20 supporters with us, and each one of them were willing to do anything for the team.
That is fantastic.
And we all pay for ourselves. We can fundraise for our own tickets, but our supporters have to pay for themselves to come and support us. So it's a big outlay for people, but they're willing to do whatever they can, to obviously as well to, you know, promote organ donation as well.
And I imagine an important part of these games is also raising the awareness, like you said, about organ donation and carrying that donor card. I carry one in my wallet. I think it's, you know, mention that. How important is that, Harry?
Well, it's very important to have it so that the first person that you contact in your wallet or whatever, they know that you're willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said earlier, it's very important to have the conversation with your next kid. And if you don't have a donor card, you can free text donor 50050 and you'll get a card sent to you. But at the same time, it's still very important to talk to your next of kin.
So it has to be both.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd just like to say too, we had a great backup team with us this year as well. Like there are people give up the holidays and like help us out like with media and you know, getting the word out there that we're doing well and everything is doing well. So our backup team is equally as important to us as everybody else.
Absolutely.
It's a big family. It's not just myself or Colin. Colin is the manager, you know, running things around like that. We all have an equal part to play.
That is so fabulous. It sounds like you guys had an amazing time, not just doing so well with the medals, but just, you know, the companionship and friendship of each other.
That's it. And then, well, apart from your friends all over Ireland, because from every county in Ireland, but your friends from all over the world that you might only see every 2 years, but it's like as if you only saw them yesterday. And again, you might say, how are you? But that's the end of it. Then it's, you know, and I mean, the competition is competition. We're not given any leeway because I had a kidney 12 years ago. I don't get any bonus points for that.
You don't cut each other any slack.
Not at all. But equally, I must say, the first person past the post and the last person past the post, no matter how many is in each race, they get the same cheer.
Amen.
We're all there supporting one another. Well, we want to beat one another, but at the same time, we're there to support one another.
I love it. That sounds like an amazing atmosphere. I absolutely love it.
We train once a month in Alta out at the airport, and everyone is welcome to that. You know, just get in touch with Colin at ika.ie email. He'll give you all the information. Or phone the Irish Kidney Association, out in Donor House on 01-6205-306, and if you get any information you want there about joining us, we really would like to have a big team for next year. So even we might move up the table a little bit.
That's excellent.
As you tell your child, it's not all about winning, it's the taking part.
Yeah.
But we still like to win.
Yeah. I love the attitude.
And just while I'm on to, like, you know, the Irish, we're typically begging as well. As we're hosting the games next year, it's going to cost a lot of money. So if there's anybody listening would like to sponsor me or the IKA in any shape or form of any way, we'd be really grateful for that too.
Amen. Great stuff. Okay, Harry, thank you so much for coming on this morning.
Thanks very much indeed, Jackie.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thanks a million.
Thanks a million. Thanks so much.
All the best.
That's Harry. Harry, he's the Irish team captain at the World Transplant Games. Again, huge congratulations to you guys. What a haul. 50 medals. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Harry. And remember, he says it's the Irish Kidney Association website. It's IKA for Irish Kidney Association, IKA.ie. Get your donor card, support the team, and you know, show up and give them a bit of cheer if you're out in their direction. It sounds like, it'd be really worth the effort to support these guys, and congratulations to them. There's definitely a debate going on about the use of digital technology being used for education purposes in schools. We talk about technology a lot on this show. And the issue is particularly when it comes to additional costs for parents, such as buying the iPad for the children attending primary school. Now, in the studio to tell us more, we have technology specialist Graham Mulhern. You are very welcome to the show this morning, Graham.
Thank you very much, Jack.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So first of all, Graham, as a parent, okay, it's a battle, isn't it, to get your kids off their phones into the fresh air. I know, like, we have really struggled this summer. It's a struggle, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubting sitting has become the new smoking.
Mm.
And teenage kids, once the holidays started up, which for senior schools is middle of May these days, that's 3 months lying horizontal in their beds.
Yeah, I know.
And getting them to go vertical, which means getting them to put their phone down. And there's another little issue that nobody really notes, but the entire broadband network in the country slows down, and every business in the country notices this.
You're kidding me.
No, absolutely. I mean, so it's
during the summer.
Yeah, I mean,
because of this.
Come the 28th of May, there's a whole ton of new users out there on the internet, and it slows down offices and all sorts of things. I mean, that's just an amusing little aside.
That is interesting.
But it's a real issue. Parents really struggle with it. Schools don't know how to handle it. Parents don't know how to handle it. I'm very big advocate of get back in the parenting game. Insist on knowing your kids' passwords, and insist on them being vertical. Insist on them looking you directly in the eye when speaking to you, not walking along the street with their heads down in their phones. There's a whole range of sort of simple, practical things, and a kind of range of phone etiquette or netiquette that people could learn, which would be improve their safety, improve their fitness, their eating habits, mental well-being, and a whole range of things. I mean, variety is the spice of life, and that's really important. And parents have great difficulty introducing this into their kids' lives.
Well, I suppose, Graham, one of the best ways to introduce it would be modeling it yourself as a parent, like getting off the phone and screens yourself.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, my company has a load of speakers, and we do school talks and business talks about internet safety. The first thing for parents is, let's not be using the phone while we're sitting down and eating tea at home. Let's put the phones down. Let's put them on another table, and let's actually talk to each other.
Yeah.
And even just insist everybody puts their phones down for 10 minutes in the kitchen in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
How parents expect their kids to learn from them when we're crossing the road, driving, doing our hair, everything else in our phones, heads up, eyes
so
on
true.
Each other. How about that? Great
so,
start.
So true. I know we're not very popular in our house, my husband and I, because like our 13-year-old's begging for a phone, but we're saying, like, if you want a phone, we'll get you a block Nokia phone, like the old school phones, but no smartphones, man, not right now. We take the internet out at 10 o'clock at night, disconnect it so nobody can sneak the internet behind our backs. So, you know, these are things that we've found we had to do, because no matter how hard you try to put parameters in place, it's really hard, isn't it? Because they find ways around you.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I remember I've been told by mothers who's that take the router to work in the morning and during the summer holidays, but their kids go up to Tesco and buy a mobile pack behind their back.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
It's real.
Here's a simple fact: parents who do something about it have kids who are more successful. There's a simple fact.
There's a motivation.
Everyone wins with that one. And this ain't about money. That was never about money. That was about taking an interest in your kids.
Yeah, yeah. So true. So true. Now, back to school. We were talking about back to school, and parents are probably a little happy because, you know, their kids are going to be getting away from the screens. But it's not actually the case in all cases, is it? Some schools are using more and more technology now.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, there's a whole range of issues around that. And it was always going to happen. Technology, you know, tape recorders made their way into my school life when I was going through school 30, 40 years ago. And that was an innovation at the time. And then camcorders and all those sort of things. And now we have the age of the tablet and the iPad. And Apple has made a really successful bash into the school networks. And of course, that's where they're breeding new users forever for the Apple network. And iPads, and there's a great question around the use of iPads and that in schools. I mean, it's a win-win if you do it properly,
mm-hmm.
and if everybody is sufficiently trained up, but there's the expense, and then there's again the issue with the kids spending all of their time looking down
at
their iPad.
Yeah, and imagine it's not good for their posture.
But life is moving forward, and we can't stop it.
Yeah, the technology's there, and we have to learn how to live with it, don't we?
Yes.
So talking about back to school and talking about the cost, because I know going back to school is a high cost for a lot of families.
Sure is.
It's very difficult. How do people deal with this cost of technology if they need an iPad for school?
Well, unfortunately, there are payday lenders out there who will help with this sort of thing, and it is fortunate. But if you've two kids going into senior school, I only had one this year going into senior school for the first time, and she was starting and has got her new iPad. Now, I think we got her the iPad back in June. But it was the guts of a grand, as far as I can remember.
Mm.
And if you've two or three kids, or a pair of twins, that's the guts of $2,500 with all of the books, etc. It's very, very expensive, and it is a real stress. How people can deal with it, I don't know. But it really puts a stretch on the school's budget. Sorry, on the parents' budget, and It does raise the question whether or not we should be looking at doing this through the Department of Education on some kind of co-funded basis.
Yeah, so parents are buying these devices themselves. They're not being provided. Yeah,
certainly in our case, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you did too, and everyone who's been asked to. I mean, ultimately, this is our children's education. To secure their employment and usefulness into the future, we need to put everybody on the same footing, and not just advantage the fee-paying schools or better-off parents. So there would be a big case where this should be made more affordable, and I couldn't go into it right now, the length of schemes, but it could easily be assisted, and there should certainly be a tax break the same way there is for medical allowances, and there should certainly be some direct cross-funding from the Department of Education.
Mm.
But I'm sure that'll come, but it's of no use to anybody who's just bought these devices in the last 3 years.
Mm.
But I can see it happening within the next 3 or 4 years.
So going forward, you think
but
that's
unfortunately
something?
We have a government that's totally distracted on another issue. Well, previously the money from the Europeans and now the UK. So it's going to be a while.
Okay. So let's talk a bit about in terms of bans on phones in schools. From your experience, what approach do most schools take when it comes to phones in school?
Well, you're presumably referencing a school here in Bray that made a decision over the summer at a 92% vote that the only phones allowed will be the Nokia text type phones. These bans, in my view, don't work. And what we go back to is parenting and learning how to use the phones properly, learning how to engage with social media properly, knowing how to set it up. I think there's a lot more to be gained from teaching the kids how to do that, because you can't ban something that they're going to use for the rest of their lives. And there's an element of the principal and the parents' committees trying to push this back out the school gate, so the parental and the legal and the Garda issues and all the bullying, because the schools will take the view, if it didn't start here, we don't have to deal with it. And schools are driven demented with this, and it's a huge distraction.
I'd say it's a huge distraction, yeah.
And it's probably the number one issue for discipline, and the number one cause, I mean, more so than obesity, drug usage and other issues and mental well-being. And unfortunately, the Snapchat and Instagram and the use of social media and TikTok is molded through each and every one of those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think we're attacking the wrong problem the wrong way by banning the use of smartphones in schools.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. I told you my son, you know, he's looking for a phone, and I said, you know, no, you're not getting one. He's 13. Most all of his friends have phones by now, smartphones. But it's just because we've made mistakes with our older kids. Like, we gave the phone too soon, they're hard to control, for lack of a better word. Not that you're trying to control everything, yeah. But like the boys tease me a bit in my house because I say, look, you know, the phone is a portable porn device. Is the problem that we have, yes, with it? You know, they can access anything at any time. And how do you, you know, we've as parents over the last I don't know how long the phone's been around, 10 years, 15 years. We've been trying to do different things to make them safe for online. And really, what I've come down to is you have to have conversations. You have to have courageous conversations with your kids, and you have to be really clear about why it's bad to access things like this on the phone. I think that's really the only thing that works. You have to teach them to control themselves, because as soon as you can put all the controls in your house that you want to try to avoid that, but they'll go to somewhere else. They'll go to another friend's house. They'll go somewhere else and be able to access things there. So it really is about the parent-child conversation and relationship, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Absolutely. And in fact, you've both posed and answered the question. Then I would make a couple of comments around it. The whole subject of adult content, pornography, yes. And the difference between me and them is when I was growing up in this country, there was nothing available in that category. So I still have that sort of training from young. I didn't see it until I first went to the UK to, say, Mr. Patel's corner shop, and it was up there in the top row. Now we're one device away from the most unhealthy content you can imagine. And I say that, you know, giving your phone is like walking to a kid. It's like walking around a German porno zone and allowing your kids to do anything that they want. And schools are afraid to approach this particular subject. And so much so, a common question that our speakers report back is kids asking, is pornography illegal? They don't even know that it is illegal. They don't know about the age of consent. They don't know about taking photographs. They don't know about any electronic transmission of illicit materials. All of these are crimes. So if you're 14 right now and you're in bed, at home, surfing the internet for adult content, you are breaking the law. Right now, you're breaking the law. If a guard is entitled to take the phone off you, and it will be placed into evidence and never returned to the child if they see that content on a phone. And that's what they're entitled to do. And we need to get on top of this issue. And therefore, parenting is the part. You know what, kids? We really have to talk about, if you have this device, we need to talk about the content up at the upper end of the dial, that you know what I'm talking about, and you scooting onto the internet to look at consensual or non-consensual acts on pornography networks. We need to talk about that. It's not good for you. And it destroys their opening up and their first venture into their own human relationships with opposite or not opposite members of their sexes. It's just very complicated. Mm-hmm. But ignoring it and pretending it's not there, that's a mistake. So if we give our kids smartphones, be aware about the second thing or the first thing they're going to do is surf the internet for porn. And we need to get on top of that. By the way, parental controls, which you can use and implement, will solve a lot of these problems, where you can actually block by type and by weapons and by profanity and all sorts of things. And they're incredibly effective.
So if you're just joining me, you're listening to Spirit Radio. I'm talking to technology specialist Graham Mulhern from Be Secure Online. Graham, as a parent, I have to say, it's very confusing because there's a lot of programs out there and I hear lots of bad feedback from other parents. Oh, that doesn't work and this doesn't work. What is the best thing to be using in our home to secure our home and make it a safe place for our kids?
Right, well, I mean, the industry has been a little bit slow to catch up, and Apple is guilty at the moment of it's trying to get into the adult content market or protection market itself, and is making it hard for a number of the leading players like Bitdefender and Kaspersky and Norton's to do this. Now, these antivirus programs that are out there are now really becoming parental control and internet control. I mean, they'll also look after ransomware and malware and that type of thing. But if you use them, and it's very easy to set up on all devices now, I mean Android, Apple, tablets, not so much on iOS, which is the iPhone, because Apple is closing out that system. But if you put in blocks that say, you can put in things that say, only grant my kid access 30 minutes during the week, an hour and a half during the weekend, and by content type, that's a great start. And there are videos all over the internet on how to do that, say on Kaspersky or on Bitdefender or on Norton's, and that's quite easy to do. And you can buy any number of the physical products that you can put, and you can set them up. It does take a little effort, but it's well worth it. Because 3 months of your kids surfing porn's not a price worth paying.
No, it's not. Absolutely not. I mean, you know, it's great to be able to talk to somebody who's so open and frank about the options that are there. I think this is a topic that a lot of parents want to know more about.
Less than the cost of a coffee a week, way less, in fact. Like, you can buy solutions for 40, 50, up to 100 quid. That's way less than you'll spend on cigarettes and coffee during the year.
Absolutely. Now, you have an event coming up. I could talk to you for the rest of the show, but there's some music and other things to get to.
So, well, I'm sure I'm boring everybody to death at this point. Get rid of him quickly.
I tell you, Graham, I think people are like, I think they've pulled the car off the road. They've stopped cooking their breakfast. I think they're glued to the radios right now, to be honest. Tell us about AppChat that's happening in Waterford. What's going on?
Yeah, my company was invited to do an event next week down the Tower Hotel, for post-primary and especially for primary school kids. We're doing 3 sessions. It's only a couple of pounds to get in, or euros. And, we're doing one for the very young kids. And that is to say 5 and upwards, and then another session for 9-year-olds upwards, and then for teenagers. And the issues there are, yes, kids of 5 are getting phones. And they are accessing the internet. And yes, as they get older, 8+, what to do with that? And we'll be talking about all of that. And then teenagers who think they know everything and whose parents, who manage to bully their parents in. So we're going to have some great advice around all of that. So we're going to take the 3 age groups, and it's for teachers and guardians, parents, but especially parents. And it's selling very well, and it'll be next week in Waterford's Tower Hotel.
So how do people get their hands on tickets?
Oh, thanks a million for asking. Just Google or Facebook search, for AppChat, 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 Waterford.
Okay, great, good stuff. Technology specialist Graham Mulhern from Be Secure Online. Thank you so much for coming in this morning, man. BeSecureOnline.co.uk is the website, and you can look up Apple Chat and get your tickets for that in Waterford coming up. Sounds like, AppChat.
AppChat.
Yes. APP. See, did I say Snapchat?
Yeah, actually, that was the name. That was the name of my daughter. You did. Snapchat, yeah. That was the daughter of my neb. My daughter Eve came up with the name.
Yeah, it's a very clever name. And yeah, the reason AppChat. I said Snapchat is because in my head, I was having a conversation with myself going, that is awfully clever to call it AppChat.
She won a dinner out, burger and chips for that, she did. And
she deserved
an extra jelly. It only cost me $6.50. It was a good deal for a name.
I tell you what, you're a man for a deal. What can I say? So it's AppChat, APP chat, and besecureonline.co.uk. Thanks, Graham.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.